Blog Talk Radio.
Static,
Bruce. Still a lot of static?
Yes, a lot of.
Okay, it went away.
I guess I won't participate today.
No, it went away now.
Wow.
Good evening and welcome to The Man's Voice here. We were just playing around with one of our panelists. Most of them are here. And the other one is now. He's back in again, too. So we will check and see, make sure that we don't have any static. But we missed all of our audience. We also want to make sure that we send our condolences out to all the people that were in that condo that collapsed. And we are getting static from Bruce. Bruce, we're getting a little static from your end.
Well, I will just listen. You guys can turn my voice off, I guess, and I'll just listen.
I tell you what.
Sounds like something that's done by the left side of the politics.
Why? The right people that are full of
right.
I tell you what, Bruce, you just stay on and then text me if we're talking about something and you want to jump in, and I'll just, you know, reopen the mic.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. There we go. All right. Well, once again, welcome to The Man's Voice here. Every once in a while, we have technical issues, but then anything that's out there that's electronic, you're going to have something every once in a while. But we're glad you're back with us. We're glad we're here to entertain you and talk about things that are going on. I want to start the show off because I think just about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, most of everybody is in. The one thing that I thought was a little strange that happened, you know, since we were on before, and it's about Texas. But before I get into that, because Texas done a couple of things, one with guns and two with abortion and things like that. But I don't know if many people know, but the Supreme Court right now is reviewing where they are asked to make a decision on whether women can also be drafted like men, and women must register when they get 18. So the Supreme Court right now is reviewing that, and they'll make a decision on it, you know, sometime soon. Whereas girls who turn 18 have to register, and if there has to be a draft, girls would also be drafted as well as men. What do you guys think about that? What do you think about that, Ron?
Well, David, you know, we've talked about women's rights and many times in the past, and I think fair is fair. And if women want to be treated equally as men, I think they should be, you know, available for draft at the age of 18, just like men. And women serve in the military right now, so I don't see any issues whatsoever in having women at the age of 18 being eligible to be drafted to be in the military.
All right. What about you, Darius?
Well, this is when there are adverse consequences when you try to assert yourself and say that you are equal to guys in every aspect. And I think we had this discussion the last time we were on, and I, you know, vehemently tried to prove my point that women are not equal to men especially in terms of physical abilities, capabilities. But this all stems from women trying to, I don't know if you guys remember, there was a case probably about 10 years ago where women were saying they wanted to be considered for combat duty. They said that by them not being allowed to participate in combat duty, that it would be harder for them to get promoted and get ranked. Okay, so then they were granted that. So if you are now qualified and capable for combat duty, then you absolutely should be required to register for the draft. And I wholeheartedly agree with that.
All right. What about you, Don? What do you think?
David, I'd like to respond by saying at my daughter's home, which you know, and we're listening to a man's voice, I want to know if I can have the opportunity to put her on and have her respond from a woman's point of view.
Sure. That would be great.
Hold on. David, this is Nina McDowell, Wiggins McDowell. You know her. You was at her wedding.
Yes.
Hello. Hi, David. How are you?
I'm good. Welcome.
Well, thank you. Sorry to crash the message today, but, and in process, I would love to share my opinions and thoughts, and that is that I think America is doing the typical Rand Old Age telltale sign of putting before the horse, making it mandatory to drive to women. I feel that there are so many other things and issues that we need to rectify, such as women attaining autonomy over their bodies with the right to be able to determine whether they are qualified or able to have abortion before we talk about drafting and military needs. I think that we should address the equal pay scale here in America before we talk about drafting women. Because today, women still make 30 cents less than men on a pay scale on the regular pay scale of in the economy. So before we talk about drafting them, I think that we should look at equality across the scale, across the board, before you want me to risk my body in addition to laboring to have children, in addition to maintaining a home and being a caretaker. There are many other things. And it's the same as, Ruth Bader Ginsburg fought for when she talked about equality for men and being able to receive adequate support from the government and being the caretaker on their standpoint. So we're going to talk about equality. Then we should grant those rights first at home and on our day-to-day engagement in life before we talk about military engagement. Thank you.
Well, before you leave, there was another question that I was bringing up that I would like to get your opinion on. And it is a bill that was recently passed by Texas. Texas passed their heartbeat bill, which becomes law in September. It was the Republican-led legislator passed the bill to outlaw abortions in Texas if the Supreme Court overturns Roe versus Wade, which they're trying to do now, the 1973 case that legalized abortion. So what are your opinion about that in the state of Texas and their heartbeat bill?
Oh, I think that, it stands true to what I was referencing before. I think there are many reasons. I teeter the line between pro-life and pro-choice because while I do believe in life and giving life and life taking form in a mother's womb, I also think that there are reasons why women have abortions that are to spare their life. And if we're, raise the stakes on that, I don't think a government or system should be able to dictate when I know internally that I might be experiencing complications that will cause me or refrain or restrict me from being able to deliver a child safely into this earth. And so, frankly speaking, I don't think the government should, first of all, overturn Roe v. Wade. That's one. And then two, they should really just remove their hand as it pertains to a woman's body and her choice completely.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you for having me. I love you. No problem.
Whenever
you need me, it's a pleasure to hear your voice.
Thank you so much. All right. So, Michael, what are your thoughts on, first of all, let's go back to women in military, and at the same time, can you answer your thoughts on the Texas Heartbeat Bill.
Yeah, definitely, and it's good to be back on the show with everybody. I'm glad we're all here. First, I want to piggyback off of what the young lady so eloquently spoke about, and that's other issues that we need to focus on before we focus on if we should draft women into the military. I think she laid out some very, very good examples of other things we need to focus on, but I would also add we need to focus on sexual assault in the military, because sexual assault in the military is at a very, very, very high level. I mean, women every day, there's over 100,000 complaints of women who said they were sexually assaulted while serving in the military. That is a major, major problem in the military, and no one ever is held accountable for it. So I think before we tell women we're going to force you into this system that you might get raped in, I think we want to fix that problem first before we talk about forcing women into the military. In regards to the heartbeat bill in Texas, I think it's just horrible. I think that Texas is just trying – I think not just Texas, Georgia, Florida. I think those red states are just trying very hard to push as very far hard to the right as they can, because they're trying to push back against Joe Biden being in the president and the Democrats controlling both houses. So I think they're just trying to push back, and they're going to the extreme with this abortion thing and the fact that it's a 6-3 court now, being the Supreme Court. I do think the Supreme Court is inclined to might overturn Roe v. Wade, unfortunately. So I think this is it's an unfortunate hard push on the right, and I just totally disagree with it.
All right. So, Al, what are your thoughts on the two subjects?
My thoughts when it comes to women being drafted in the military, just from how things are, especially when it comes to government jobs, men and women are treated extremely equally. I mean, if men are going out there and practically getting shot at and having their limbs blown off and being attacked by helicopters and jets and stuff, it does ask the question, why should they be the only ones doing it? I mean, men in the military get paid the exact same as women do, get the same access to benefits and other types of resources. Yeah, I do think the sexual assault thing does need to be addressed, but in terms of the premise of the situation, I think women should be drafted just as men do. And when it comes to the Texas heartbeat bill, I personally do think that we should not abort children when there's a heartbeat registered. However, that is a decision that the woman has to make for herself and for her circumstances. And I don't think the government in any circumstances should say that a woman should have to carry out a pregnancy if she doesn't want to.
Okay, good. Let me ask, Bruce, what are your thoughts on these subjects you'll be in now? Bruce, and there's no static. Bruce, what are your thoughts?
Because I took my earphones off and I'm talking on the speaker. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, very good.
Okay. my position is very similar to a number that and no disrespect to you, Dana, if you're still listening, you made a good point of certain problems inherent to the female sex that has to deal with in the military do have to be solved. But I don't think the answer is we wait till all those are solved until they're part of a vibrant and necessary part of our defense. They want to be equals in a lot of ways, not in all ways. They want a number of them already want to be in the service and are, and I think they should be at least available by draft registry to be called up if they're needed. And so I agree with that part in the short answer. And in addition to that is dealing with those issues absolutely has to be done. To make that a better situation for females in the military. But keeping them out of the registry isn't a solution to that problem. You need to get in there, no pun intended, and fight to get those things taken care of. As for the heartbeat question, I agree with the obvious situation that you cannot kill something that has a heartbeat. It's an alive human being in an embryo state. You cannot do it. And I bristle at too many still saying it's a woman's choice. It is not a woman's choice. It's the two that brought that human being into creation that that have that right, not just the woman. And granted, you can say a lot of men don't show up when they should, and that's true. There's some women that don't show up either once the child is born. So my point being, it needs to be, and if it's a woman's choice, then she should have chosen not to get pregnant in the first place. If she has that much power, she's got to have enough power to try and not get pregnant if she's going to have the sole source. It needs to be the two of them.
All right.
Amen. Amen, Brother Bruce. Amen. Ditto, ditto,
thank
ditto.
You. Thank you.
I actually got to agree with you on that one, Bruce, so you have a point with that.
God dang, Michael. You never cease to amaze me. Thank you, brother.
You're welcome. Man, I get credit
where it's due. Let me go back. I was, because Darius and Ron were not able to voice in the Texas Heartbeat Bill. So, Darius, what are your thoughts? I kind of got what you're going to say with what you just said, but what are your thoughts on the Texas Heartbeat Bill?
I agree with Bruce, of course. I guess you just heard me
emphatically
applaud him. So, yeah, if it has a heartbeat, it's alive. And we don't need to kill anything that's alive. Now, as far as the young lady who, I mean, she really, really spoke eloquently and contributed, a very different perspective, and I respect her for that. However, when you say the government needs to stay out of it, then if you're going to go with that, then you have to go with that across the board, because if the government needs to stay out of it, then why is the government funding Planned Parenthood? Why is the government asking that taxpayers pay for abortions? And then why is it, if it's a woman's choice, if she has a baby and the man has absolutely no choice in the matter, why is he required to support that baby? Why is the government involved in making the man taking money out of his paycheck? Why is the government involved in locking him up in jail? If it's something that he didn't even want. So, you know, it's very hypocritical for women to say, oh, the government needs to stay out of it. It's a woman's choice. But yet the government is involved in every other aspect along the way, from the abortion, and if they decide to keep the baby, from the rearing of the child, from receiving government assistance to raise the child if necessary, from receiving government health care, government child care, from making the man responsible for the care of that child. You cannot say the government is out of it when you're asking for these things also.
All right.
Darius, I absolutely positively agree with you on that one.
I do too, Darius.
Michael, right, you're gonna make me like you, man. And that's not fair.
Michael's going to make us cry before you know it.
Oh, wow.
Hey, David, if I could just take something a little further with that in regards to that. Darius, I agree with you in the fact that the government should not be criminalizing the guy for not being there to support the father and throwing him in jail and all that. You're right. The government should get out of that. But it was your party. It was the Republican Party that put those rules and policies in place. It was an idea of Karl Rove, to be the exact, and he gave it to Bush and called him deadbeat dads. Let's go after him. But it was just a racial strategy to just criminalize more black men. Because if you look at the ratio of who's in jail for not paying child support, it's black men. So I hate to say it, but it was your party to put that policy in place, Darius.
Wow.
And Michael, now what you're getting ready to do to me is unfair, because you're going to make me agree with you. You're absolutely right. It was the Republican Party, and I do believe it was racially motivated, because black men are disproportionately in jail or in prison for child support. So I agree with you totally on that, man. You're absolutely right. But
today?
It doesn't change my point, though. You know, it doesn't change the point that the government cannot be in it and out of it at the same time.
All right.
And Michael, this is Bruce. Back with you. I agree as well as with you and Darius. The only caveat I would quickly make is I'm a little squeamish on the word targeted. I absolutely agree that the black, African-American, and minority groups are hurt much more by it, and therefore that's not good either. It needs to be solved however it was created. Whoever created it, it needs to be corrected.
All right, gentlemen, let's get back to Don. Don, does your daughter want to have anything to say about what the comment she just heard?
No, she went on, but the thing is, I wanted to get her on there because she is the marketing director for the Urban League, and this is a major topic for the Urban League. They're a national agency headed by Mark Mariel on a national level, and she's the marketing director for them. And the thing is, there are a lot of women that have the same outlook that she has, and women disproportionately make up the majority of the voting bloc in this country. So I wanted us to hear what women are saying. And then the thing is, I also agree with the men that have spoken on this panel today.
Wow. You go, Don.
Wow. I hope hell isn't freezing over right now.
In spite of what my daughter believes. But the thing is, she has a right to believe what she believes. And this is what we're going to face, man.
All right, gentlemen.
She does. Hey, David, she does. She does.
Right.
David, it's Jeremiah. I want to add something to that conversation briefly.
Sure.
Real quick.
Sure, Derek.
One thing we have to think about, too, is we do understand the bill in Texas and everywhere else that this may occur in the United States. But we have to take in consideration for these kids. You know, let's just say a woman gives up her rights or a male gives up, they give up both of their rights to their kids, and they wind up in child care services, foster homes, things of that nature. So there's a large percentage of kids that become adults that are unadopted throughout their lifespan. And you know, I believe, me personally, this creates a gap in love and knowing your family that can present issues for that child throughout their life. So, you know, taking into consideration of that, we should have counseling. If we mandate things as such, we should put more money into other things, because this means there's going to be more children that are not adopted. It's going to be more children in foster homes, and the rate of adoption is not that high. I mean, people are adopting, but think about it. People are having more kids than kids that are being adopted daily. So that's one point. And my other point is also, you know, we spoke about, you know, the government or the states getting involved with deadbeat dads, let's just say. And sometimes there are situations where women – they're of age, they know they have a time span to have kids, and sometimes it's not that I want to be with this guy. I think he's handsome, and I want to have a kid. You know, we have no real attachment. I don't love him, but I think he's a handsome guy, and I would like to have a kid from him. And then, you know, they know you might not want that situation, so they purposely get pregnant and haul tail. So those are those situations as well. And then those same women look to the government for help with that kid, and then they say, oh, he hasn't done anything for the child, and they just solely believe the woman, and now the government's coming after you like you're a deadbeat dad, when they don't even understand the aspects that kind of played a part in whatever happened. So my thing is, you know, I think it should be some type of investigation or understanding. It's not that, oh, you haven't been in this child's life, it's been 10 years, you're $18,000 in arrears in child support, and if you don't pay up, you're going to jail. And there's a lot of situations. I'm not saying they need to get in the between the nicks and crannies of people's relationships or what happened, but if you're going to hold me accountable, you know, maybe you need to understand what exactly happened sometimes. Different things happen. It's not even the guy's fault sometimes. It's something else, you know. And then also people can become vindictive when maybe a relationship doesn't work out, a marriage doesn't work out. And not to say anything negative about women, but, you know, if it didn't work out with you, now she's with a new man, it's screw you. You know, it's all about me going in a different direction with a man, not you being a father, not letting you be responsible. So there's a lot of things that occur, unfortunately, with these situations. And that concludes me.
All right, sir. I have a caller on the line that would like to jump in with a comment, sir. Did you can jump in. Tell us what you're thinking.
Well, I mean, I'm thinking a lot of stuff, actually. Just where do I jump in is what I'm thinking. Okay. I don't think people are having relationships, for one. So that's a biggie. I think people think they're having a relationship, but they're not. I think people fall to that. They fall prey to the person who's controlling and manipulating and doing the exploiting. And I think when you're in that kind of a situation, it's not really a relationship. It's more frustration and anger and stuff like that. But it's not. I think it's more the person who's experiencing that. I think that's what they speak out of like that, you know, because they've been hurt, you know, by these people. And I personally think if you're having a relationship with somebody, a right relationship, then you're obviously going to pay attention to a couple things, three that I, off the top of my head. They're being honest with you. They're truthful with you. You know, you're being honest and truthful, and then plus they pay attention to your feelings, because a lot of times we try to express our feelings to the wrong people, meaning we open ourselves up to the wrong people, and they're not – they don't have our best interest. They just look for opportunities to take advantage of people that are in these positions. So if we were to not open ourselves up to people who do these kind of things, we would acknowledge that these people are not the people we need to open ourselves up to, because they're not going to help you. You know, they're
I'm sorry, David. Somebody needs to mute their phone.
No, I'll handle that. I think the caller has a something on his phone. I'm sorry, sir. I think, okay, we're getting it. All right. Yeah, that's where it was. All right, sir. Well, thank you. Does anybody have any comments about what the gentleman said? Yep. That was his line.
David?
Yeah.
David? I as hearing everybody talk, I had one quick thought. You might think this is a stretch, but in a way it's not. The Creator and Mother Nature takes care of the lives and deaths of its animals, okay, in a variety of ways. We get interfered with sometimes, you could say, by hunting and destroying and so forth, but for the most part it's controlled and operated by a higher power. And we need to at least have enough empathy for the human being to let that occur. You don't see, very seldom do you hear or see, where we would go out and yank babies out of the womb of an animal, like a bear or something, and kill them to maintain a population. We don't do that. So I know it's a stretch, but it made me think, do we have as much empathy sometimes as we do for our woodland creatures, and we got to be careful about that.
Right. Bruce, I think your phone is causing a lot of static right now. No, that's not you. Yeah.
Sliding one around.
All right.
I like that concept you just mentioned, but you still have to remember, you know, we can't wish children here under horrible circumstances, regardless of the love of life and the need for, you know, the great children to be born in the United States. You know, you only can wish, you know, kids here under certain circumstances, man. We got to remember that there are a lot of irresponsible adults in the United States. And we're talking about drug abuse. We're talking about sexual assault. We're talking about disabilities, whether it's a learning disability, just et cetera. You can't mix bleach with another kind of chemical that can cause an explosion. That's the same thing. You can literally set a child up for disaster depending on the mother and father. So we have to keep that in mind as well.
you know, every circumstance, every sexual circumstance doesn't warrant actually giving birth to that child. Just like in a situation of rape, you know, we have to literally understand that no matter how much, you know, we wish another child to be born in the United States. And another thing, I used to work at a hospital. So there are a lot of women that can't have children that want kids. It is. I've seen it where they literally try to come to the hospital and steal a baby. I've seen that. You know, the public safety department of the hospitals would actually have a freaking almost like a drill to help prevent losing babies, because that's the last thing you want to lose, being a organization, a hospital, or even a parent. You know, that's a baby is speechless, and there are baby shoppers, people literally that can't have kids. They will go to the hospital, pretend like they're pregnant, to be on a maternity ward, and try to take someone else's baby. So that's why in hospitals they have babies with alarms on them. So if a baby passes a certain point, alarms go off. If a baby, you know, it's a monitoring system that wherever the baby is, you can track the baby. It's been stolen babies in past time. So this is a very intriguing topic we're discussing today.
All right, let me check something.
Hey, Jeremiah. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I just wanted to respond to Jeremiah, if I could, David.
All right. I found where the static is coming from. Jeremiah is coming from your, coming from you. Okay. Well, now I hear more, so it's not just him. It's obviously, let me put it back in together. All right, go ahead, Darius.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that the idea that his children should be aborted because they may face adverse circumstances is savage to me. I just don't understand it. I mean, if you look at the amount of people in this world who've contributed greatly to society that have faced adverse conditions, you know, if they would have been aborted, what the world would have missed out on. You know, I look at George Washington Carver and how he was born, you know, to a slave. You look at people like, you know, even if you go modern day, you look at LeBron James. You look at, he was born to a crack mom on a floor. People, even people that we don't know about, they faced adverse circumstances. They weren't born into the best scenarios, the best families, the best homes, but they contributed so much to society. And I can't think of it on the top of my head right now, but I'm sure the list is on and on and on and on and on. Some of the greatest people in this world, Oprah Winfrey, and so on and so on, were born into adverse situations where they had to fight against all odds, but yet they had so much to give to the world. I think it's so incompassionate for us to say, oh, because their situation is not going to be ideal, or they don't have good parents, or they're impoverished, or they're born into slavery, that they should be aborted. We got to change that, man. We got to change our way of thinking about that. Everybody deserves an opportunity to live. Everybody. And if you ask that child, I don't care what the condition is, do you want a chance to have this life experience? I guarantee you 100% of the time, the child would say, yes, don't kill me.
And I guarantee you this, and that's a good thing about LeBron James and other people you mentioned, because they didn't have to be taken care of for the rest of their life. Understand the scale of people you're discussing, but there is a lower scale that, and not to diminish anybody or sound disrespectful, but we do have our people, which is, you know, people like us that have to be taken care of every day. They have to be fed. They have to be guided in what to do. They can't make their own decisions. They can't count money. I'm not, you know, there's no line with this, because, you know, there's a lot of issues when it comes to whether it's a learning disability or, God forbid, you're a crack baby or whatever we want to call it. But it's some people that are very, very fortunate, and there are some people that are not. And I'm not a judgmental person because I was a child of 11 kids. I was a child raised in public housing. So I understand where I come from, and I'm just being realistic to the panel and our listeners today, honestly.
But Jeremiah, can you hear me?
Yes. Yes.
Hey, Jeremiah, it's Bruce. But aren't you flirting with deciding a decision you shouldn't be making? As Darius said, and for other reasons, some of the most brilliant contributors to the human race have been dirt poor, either at some time in their life or most of their lives, or have been paraplegics or what have you, and needed a lot of help in maintaining their lives and a lot of maintenance, if you want to use a little colder term. It doesn't change the potential that person might have. And when we start deciding, well, I don't like the color of your skin, I don't like the color of your hair, you're going to be too much maintenance. And
no.
And I'm not accusing you of anything, Jeremiah. I'm just saying, aren't we flirting on the edge of that?
Hey, can I weigh in on that?
And let me give more detail. One second. Let me give more detail. Now, I'm not saying that maybe that child should be aborted. What I'm saying is we should be proactive to those people. You know what I mean? Like, I've worked at a home, like I've stated, and I've seen a mother who has mental issues, homeless. Literally, I've left my job, and I drive 15 miles north, and I see her 4 o'clock in the morning sitting at a four-way intersection. You know what I mean? So what I'm saying is we can proactively maintain and prohibit, and I don't like that. But at the same time, who are we to bring someone in the world under the worst conditions or even bad conditions? You know what I mean?
Because
we still have
who
to
are we? Because you're planting them in Jeremiah. You're planting them in the same dirt, and they're going to have the potential for growing the same life. So
and I understand that, I don't believe there's enough resources for the amount of lives that are being born.
I don't disagree that we have not done a good job in many of those cases.
And that's what I'm
I agree with you on that.
The amount of resources and being proactive.
Come on, guys,
now,
let somebody else get
that.
In on this conversation, please.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Michael.
Come on, let somebody else in on this conversation. Hey, Darius, I think you and Bruce are kind of missing the point a little bit. You guys are just saying that, well, everyone deserves a chance. I kind of would disagree with that. You mean to tell me you don't think Hitler's mother should have had an abortion? I mean, you don't think Charles Manson's mother should have had an abortion? There are just a lot of, I know in my community, there's a lot of mothers that just should not be mothers. And there's a lot of fathers who should not be fathers. Everyone should not be a parent. Who are we to tell this child you're going to live a life of misery? If that's, I know tons of children who say, hey, I wish my mother would have had an abortion. I mean, that's just a fact. You guys are just looking at the rosy side of the story.
Because
you're not looking at the other side of that story.
Honestly.
All right.
Wow.
Let's bring that one to a close. I'm going to bring that conversation to a close. We'll pick it up again, but there's several other things, and I know that Bruce wanted to bring up something, but before that happens, there's one other thing I want to bring up, and it's, once again, we're back in Texas, and I don't know what Texas is trying to prove right now, but I do know that Texas passed a bill allowing Texans to carry handguns without a license or without training, and this becomes effective on September the 11th. And I know that we all talked about guns and
9/11.
Gun carry and all that. We've talked about this several times. But now a state actually has passed a bill allowing Texans to carry handguns without any training or without a license. Ron, what are your thoughts on that? And do you think other states are going to pick up and start doing it also?
Well, I don't know much about it because I haven't heard anything about it, but it sounds completely ridiculous to me to allow somebody that doesn't have a license, which means they haven't gone through the background checks is what I'm thinking, and doesn't have the training. I mean, come on, what are people thinking? I mean, so anybody can go out and buy a gun and take it with them wherever they want. That just doesn't make any sense to me. I'm sure that there's more to the story. There's more to it than what you said, David. I don't know what it is, again, because I haven't heard about it, and I don't know the details. But to me, it just sounds completely, completely crazy to let anybody that wants a gun to go out and buy a gun without a license and without any training.
Well,
there is more to the story, David. I don't know if you were going to add or if you'd like me to elaborate.
Well, let me jump in because I want to correct something that Ron said. I want to add something to Ron. But before you buy a gun in Texas, you have to have done a background check. But you don't have to have a license or anything. You don't have to do any training or anything. But you do have to have your background check to buy the gun. So people who are selling guns, a person needs to have a background check certification before they can get the gun. All right, Darius, go ahead.
Yeah, right. What you said, David, is correct. And what I also wanted to expound upon is what they're saying is, because they're considering that law in Georgia as well and some other states, what they're saying is you have a constitutional right to bear arms. But in many states, you have to also apply, if you're going to take that weapon outside of your home, you have to apply for what's called a concealed carry permit. So a lot of states are saying, well, look, if you already have the right to bear arms, why do you have to have a concealed carry permit in addition to that? So it's not eradicating or going away with any of the laws that are already in place. You still have to have a background check. You still have to qualify to own a weapon. You still have to have a license to own a weapon and a permit. But what they're saying is you don't have to have a concealed carry permit. If you have a license to own a gun, then you should also be allowed to carry that weapon with you as well. That's what the law says.
But wasn't there a reason for a concealed carry permit?
Wait a minute. Hold on, guys. Don, what are your thoughts?
I really think that we're discussing something that I wish would have been dealt with more in depth a long time ago. The NRA has had a free rein on the laws through our political system in America, where gun registration, the killing by handguns, has been outrageous. And now we're to a point where we really don't know what to do. I'm hearing a lot of comments about what we should do, but I really know that we don't know what to do. This thing is serious, and we need to get a handle on it. And I don't even know where to start to get a handle on it because so much money and politics have played into the situation with the NRA, and now we got handguns in the wrong hands, handguns in the young men and women that don't need or have the responsibility to carry a handgun. So I'm kind of confused, gentlemen.
Can I respond to Don on that?
Well, let me go after you, Bruce. Wait a minute, Michael.
What are your thoughts
on what we're talking about?
Well, a lot of states, they do have constitutional carry. I think there's about 11 of them, if I'm not mistaken. And most states, you can carry a gun openly without a permit. Nevada is one of them. Obviously, I think that the state governments would know what it is that their people would want to have from them in terms of government and local policy. Yeah, you can admit that some people don't know what to do with guns, and you see stupid people online on Facebook and Instagram doing stupid stuff with guns, and you know, these are the kinds of people that are going to be carrying these guns openly. So it's just a matter of, like, letting it, like, reap what they sow. If people are going to be stupid, they're going to be stupid, and if they're going to be shooting things and having guns in public, the state government's just going to have to deal with that, and maybe the law will be repealed, maybe it won't. But what you do will actively affect the people around you and how that will shape their lives.
All right, Spencer, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think Soel is right. I just think I think it's the same. I think even here, Georgia is an open carry law, so it doesn't affect. I just think that Texas is going with the same thing as Georgia and some of these other states that basically already have all the documents and everything saying that I can own a gun, so I don't need another document saying that I could carry it, because somehow it's in the Constitution that I have that right already. So basically they just throwing away one law for the original law that they already have and some of these other states already have. Like I said, I think Georgia here is an open carry law, so only thing I guess police will have to do is to find out if you have the right to carry that gun or you have the paperwork. So, you know, Texas is, like I said, is doing the same thing that these other states are doing. It's, to me, it's just so big.
All right. Okay, now, Michael, what did you want to say?
Yeah, I was going to kind of piggyback off what Darius said, is that if the Constitution says you have the right to bear arms, then I think we all should bear arms. There shouldn't be a but on there. It shouldn't be I need this permit. It doesn't say in the Constitution that I need this permit to carry this arm. It just says I have the right to bear arms. So I do think, because that becomes a slippery slope. I mean, the Constitution says I have a right to freedom of speech. Are you going to eventually pass a law that says, yeah, but you got to have this permit to exercise your freedom of speech? But to go even further with that, Darius and Bruce, why does the Constitution say you have a right to vote? Why do I need this ID to vote? All these buts that they add onto the Constitution, I think, need to stop. So right to bear arms is what the Second Amendment says. Everyone should have that right.
All right. Bruce, did you have something on this?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, well.
Okay. I think in the one there's another layer that lies below the surface in Texas that attributes to this. It's called fear. There are a lot of people right now, and you and I are almost all of us, not all of us, are far divorced from that border right now. And you hear the stories that are going on. These people are, I would imagine that most of the counties that are using most of this law to have guns where they've never had them before are along or close to the border. These people are scared. They're being vandalized. They're being all kinds of heinous acts. And if they don't think anybody's going to be there to defend them, what do you think they're going to do? They feel that the only thing they have left is a line of defense, is possibly a weapon, even if they don't know how to fire it very well. I agree. Anybody that owns a weapon has a responsibility. But these people, I think a lot of them are working out of fear right now and are scared to death what might happen to them. And if the choice is between fire a gun that I'm not that capable with or stand there and let things happen, they're going to pick door number one, not door number two. So I think that has a lot to do with it. And I agree with, to some degree, with you, Michael, as well as, you know, we don't need permits for a lot of things. But as far as voting and a few other precious things, possibly a weapon carry, it's kind of there. And then we have to decide what's not an overreach to help properly get someone to be trained before they use it, or that they're a real citizen of the United States. And I will stand pat and stop with the idea that a lot of my brethren that are minorities say it's pretty insulting to think I can't figure out how to get a voter's ID. Of course they can. It's a control issue that should not be there. I'm done.
All right, Ron, what are your thoughts? Hello, Ron. He's not there. All right, let's move on. Bruce, you had something you wanted to bring up.
Well, you guys might have already have thought I've talked too much anyway, so you probably didn't miss me 2 weeks ago. So if anybody else wants to bring up something first, go ahead. Oh, we're almost done. All right, I will bring it up. Food for thought or comment if you want. Been thinking about this a lot. Why is it that we have, and you know I always stress this, the far radical, crazy, in my opinion, left, not the good left people, not the good Democrats, not all of those that are far outnumber the far, far left. Why are they persistently trying to shut everything down that speaks well of what we are as Americans and free people? You know, sequestering the press, ending up fighting a registered entry to the border, not no entry, but a controlled entry that we know who's coming in and why and when and how. And our school systems, what's being taught there. It doesn't mean people shouldn't know about the good, the bad, the ugly of our history, and maybe more of that needs to come to light, but in a fashion that it's history, not interpretation and not manipulation of that history for an end product. And I think too many of our schools, first the colleges, now the high schools, and now even the grade schools are doing that. And I just think that all of this is coming, it's ultimately power that they want, and they never come up with solutions. It's always, well, because I'm opposite from the right. I want to hear, if you want to debate me and you want to win over the majority of the country, which they have not done, you need to give answers as to what makes sense on what your alternative is. And we never hear alternatives. All we hear is, well, you guys are bad, or something like that. So I'd like comments on that.
Anybody want to address that?
Oh, please. I would love to. What you're referring to, Bruce, is critical race theory. That's what you're referring to. You're upset with the fact that right now on the left, you call us far radical left. I'm kind of on that side. You're just upset that we want to teach the kids about critical race theory, which is the true history of America. Now, keep in mind, historically, history has been told by the white men in America because the white man has always dominated the school boards, the governorships. All the governing powers in this country have been controlled by the white men. So they've told the history of America and made it seem like just a glossy love story. But it's not a glossy love story. The true history of this country is a nightmare. And you don't want that story told. That's all that is. And you call it critical race theory to make it this bad thing when it's not. It's a good thing that needs to be taught.
Two quick points, Michael. I did not say that it's what I said is, think about this. Who created slavery in the first place? It wasn't the United States of America. Could they have done a better job of killing it off or stopping it faster? Yes. But who has done over the decades, who has done more to eliminate slavery and the things bad about sequestering people than the United States? No one has. The United States, traditional United States, has. And I agree with you. You just heard me say it. The part of what you want to call critical race theory that talks about the true things that haven't been talked about in history, I don't have a problem with that. But they're using it. You've seen the ads. I've seen the books that say, oh, this group is bad. This group is good. That is not teaching history. That's teaching division, and that's teaching separation. That will never be a quality aspect of this country.
Okay, it's not teaching this group is good, this group is bad. It's teaching the facts. The facts just happen to be that group over there was bad. You just don't want the facts taught.
Not true.
Okay,
not true at all.
So let me jump in with my brother Bruce if I can. Okay, so critical race theory is exactly what the term says, theory. Theory is a set of principles or ideas that somebody believes. It's not a fact. And these aren't facts of a... I'm sorry, I'm hearing music. Is it sports time, David?
Yes, it is.
So I need to stop right in the middle of my point, man, for real. Like, I had a very brilliant, brilliant thought that I was going to share this with the world.
You got 4 minutes. Go.
All right. This is sports time. Thank you. We're on with our sports section. Let's get in here with Spencer. Come on in. But one of the things I want to ask you is the Tokyo Olympics. Tokyo Olympics won't have spectators because of their state of emergency with COVID-19. What are your thoughts?
I think it's a good thing. It's sad in a sense because there'll be no spectators to watch it, you know, obviously, but we're all going to watch it on TV. So I'm just there for the game, not the fans anyways, from my perspective. But, I mean, I think it's the right thing to do if they feel like the virus is on the rise and everything, and they have done so much to try to contain this thing, so why not? Why jeopardize that by having fans there and having it spread again? You know, who knows who got the vaccine? Who knows who's coming? So even though they put a lot of things in place to make sure everybody's vaccinated, and I done seen pictures and stuff of what they have for the games as far as protocols and machines and temperature checks and just everything. You know, they have a very good system that's set up there well to control this, but you just never know with that many amount of fans and people coming in. You never know what could happen. So I just think it's the right thing to do to keep the games going.
All right. What else you got?
Speaking of the Tokyo games, I'm pretty sure everybody heard that. I guess the big thing is surrounding the Olympic sprinter.
I think you have some background going on.
The woman, Olympic sprinter, that tested positive for marijuana, actually. So,
sorry, Richard.
There we go. So, so she won't be participating, and everybody wanted to see her go against the Jamaican sprinter, Shelly-Ann Ross, I think it is. And it's just everybody's kind of upset. Everybody really wanted to see that. It's been going both ways. You have people asking her where her friends were or where her head's at. But she's young. I think she's only like she's like 20, 21, something like that. So she'll have another chance to come back in races. It's just we were saddened because we was hoping we'd take the sport back. Making them run in the track meet for a while now. So it was nice to see us come back and take goal from that. Under other news and sports, you have the Joker winning his 20th major at Wimbledon earlier today. So now he's tied with Roger Nadal and Roger Federer. They all have 20 each. You also have Ashley Barty. She wants her second major at Wimbledon. And also making headlines from last night, all UFC fans, Conor McGregor basically got TKO'd, or he had to drop out of the match because he got a significant leg injury to his leg. Very unfortunate. Probably, I'm not saying it's career ending, but it probably is. And I lost like 5 fights in a row. So you have that. And lastly, you have the NBA Finals. You have the Suns, they're leading 2-0 over the Milwaukee Bucks. Even though Giannis put up a good performance the other night, still wasn't enough. I think the Suns take it in 5, maybe 6. I've been wrong before, but I say the Suns take it in 5, 4-1, going to Phoenix Suns. And that is all for sports.
Well, there's one more thing to add, Spencer. Tampa Lightning.
Champions
of the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, they're calling it the Tampa Bay Champions or Tampa Bay. Yeah, from the Bucks
yes.
and the Lightning winning titles. Yeah,
that's
yeah,
right.
This will all be short lived. You know.
Oh, shame on you.
All right, gentlemen. We need to get out of here. But what I wanted to tell everyone, and those of you that don't know. We all owe Spencer congratulations. He got to be married a week ago.
Whoa!
So, yes.
Yes, gentlemen. My life is officially over.
Spencer, your life has already changed forever.
All right, those of you that are listening, we will be back again next week.
Congrats, Spencer.
Thank you.
So we'll be back next week with the same panel and all the answers. And we might even let Darius finish his line, his sentence. To make
yes, you need sentence. You need to.
Brilliant. All right. Have a great week, everybody.
Hey, Spencer, send me your black book since you don't need it no more.
You said
I recorded it all. And I'll send you the good book, Michael, and you might need that better, even more.
Oh, man.
Love you, brother.